this part of which is being brought to you by Wonder-Enriched Bread and Hostess Creamed-Filled Cakes.
Is it rolling, Bob?
Check, check. No thinking time, no prep. Here we are. The day before Christmas, December 24th, 2018. Not yet Christmas Eve. And I'm not feeling very Christmassy at all. It's harder and harder every year for me to get into any kind of spirit. And with my eldest son, Chuck, not home, he hasn't been home for quite a while, he would be the one who might insist we put up a tree or decorate or make something special. But he's in Vancouver. And younger son, Jerry, is more inclined to leave it to us. And, of course, he's working today. My wife is back at work for the first time in a couple of weeks. I mean, she did that trip to Japan, came back very ill. We had a lot of pain. Has been on meds and has had a couple of weeks off, which is very rare for her. But went back in today to see how it goes. So that, you know, kind of changes things a little bit, too. I am going to Ottawa on Friday. Today would be Monday. And have dinner with, we'll see my sister, my brother. And I asked my son today, or told my son, I wasn't feeling very Christmassy. He said, why not? And I guess I just said it's, you know, it's been on a steady decline since childhood. Childhood was exciting, and not because of any religious significance, but because you got presents. And you were excited about it, and you couldn't wait to see what you're going to get and play with. And, you know, really, that's what it was about for me. And, of course, it was a bigger thing back then, Christmas dinners, and always a tree, often a live tree. Decorated, and just gradually it's a little less and less and less. This year we didn't put up a tree. New Year's has always been a little bit of a more important holiday time. I've said this many times before too, simply because it's more important in Japan, and since my wife is the one who sort of does more of the creative decorating and so on, that's when we notice it. And we have a tradition of going out for, or getting sushi sent in, and her making noodles at midnight. And so I've grown to like that. And that sort of kind of replaced Christmas a little bit. So it's not all negative. I saved the Lawrence Welk Christmas cast from our good friend Jason for today. And to see if that would help me. And I've just finished listening to it. Thank you, Jason, for it. Certainly seemed to have energized you. That was quite entertaining. And then I've just come back from the liquor store. Realized I had to get a bottle of wine for my accountant. It's a tradition. She's got to call me, I don't know, pretty damn soon, so I can pay my whatever I owe the government before December 30th, so I don't start paying interest again and a penalty. I think we're almost there. And so, damn, and then wine and beer for taking to my sisters, and then my wife, Nalco, ooh, did I say her name, wants to prepare a special meal that she just found in some recipe and requires half a bottle of wine, so it can't be that bad. So I bought an extra bottle of wine. LCBO, the Liquor Control Board of Ontario, that kind of, to me, is associated with Christmas and New Year's for sure. I have not bought anything, not a single thing, for my wife. And some of you will cry foul and shame and so on, but believe me, you haven't been through this. it just would not matter. I did speak to another man who is in a similar situation. He said, I just don't bother anymore. It's everything I buy sort of gets returned, and so it's better to give up. And she will buy herself the things she wants. Same way I got the two books. My gosh, I'm enjoying that book so much on the Montreal radio station. I meant to bring it with me to read you a little bit from it. It's just moved from CKGM became Shom FM because it sounded Eastern. The owner of the station, a fellow from Newfoundland, Sterling, gave free rein to the DJ. He said, all right, take it to another level. And they took over, and they refused to have ads, anything corporate like cars and so on. They finally went and insisted they get some money because he was bleeding money from this thing. They advertised Phantasmagoria, which was a Montreal record store. Started from nothing. The guy went out and bought 100 copies of the White Album and sold them all, and then ordered them again, and then just bit by bit. And worked with Pringle, Doug Pringle, who was the magician behind it all, the DJ they hired to... he met the owner of the station while he was coming down from an acid trip. True story. And said, this is what I want to do. And Sterling said, yeah, go for it. So it's pretty wonderful. And what's great about it is it just isn't some story in abstract. That was my life growing up, listening to this and seeing the change, going from CKGMGM to, hey, have you heard? It's not CKGM-FM anymore. It's Shom. And they would play Eastern music and philosophy. And, you know, I mentioned before, Timothy Leary and Ram Dass. And have on, you know, Indian wise men and so on. It was really quite amazing. And they just put on, like, whole albums and fabulous. Anyway, to read about it all this time later, it's just amazing research this fellow has done. It's very engaging. The writing is terrific. But the details, and when it's part of your own life story, it's pretty amazing. I don't mean that I was an actor in this. I was the listener, but wow, how terrific to have all that. So anyway, that was one of the gifts I bought myself. And the other one I refuse to open until tomorrow is the Timothy Leary biography. I've got America Surrounded, I think that's what it's called. And I'm really looking forward to that. So those are my gifts to me that I bought and say, okay, here goes. I did buy some things for my son. Three books carefully chosen, which I think he'll appreciate. And some pens and stuff, you know, little stocking stuffer stuff that I always do. Okay, I seem to get him a flashlight every Christmas. It's something I always got the kids. They always looked, why another flashlight? But I think when I was a kid, I remember getting flashlights and little lanterns and things, and that, it was a big deal. Flashlights are a big deal, okay? Oh, my. Times have changed. I did say to Chuck that I was looking forward to seeing my brother and sister, and immediately follow that with, you know, when the first one of us dies, it is going to be so heartbreaking for the two left, and then there'll be just one, because we are the end of our family. We are, you know, the aunts, the uncles have long since died, our parents have gone, and we are the last of this generation, of this connection, of this part of the Bowl family that just doesn't exist anymore. My sister or my niece married into another family. I don't know that either. My children will have children, but even if they did, it would be very, very different. It seems to be we just are a bit of a time in history, as is any generation, of course. But when you're personally connected to it, there's a bit of a melancholy to it, a sadness, you know. And like I say, if you know, I always think I'm going to be the first one to die. Anyway, of the three, so I'll have it easier than them. But anyway, all the more reason it's important that I get down to Ottawa and spend time with them. So, that's about it. I vowed I'd make one more run at the stores. Canadian Tire. To see if there's anything that just thinks, oh, this is something. I mean, usually every year I buy a family gift. We've talked about a new vacuum for a long time, one of those internet ones. And, you know, and I could have got my wife a new iPad. I could have done stuff like that. That's just not needed, not necessary. And to get a gift just for the sake of saying you got a gift doesn't cut it. It's just not worth it. I think what I could do, and what I've done in the past also, was buy tickets for a show, for a theater. It's something I like doing, and I guess it's not too late for that. I have done that and printed out the tickets. I should take her to Montreal sometime and arrange, actually plan a weekend away. This would be the right thing to do. These are things I woke up with. I've got arthritis in my neck, and now I'm waking up and just in pain in my neck. Oh, my God. This growing old, but especially growing old when you have things like arthritis. I mean, this is just, you know, it's in the family. We've all got it, but I have it pretty bad. And so the neck is, oh, my God. You know. Anyway, this is not very cheery, so I promise this will not be released until after Christmas, because this is sure not going to cheer you up. I don't think many people visit my blog or even look at the pictures I put. I always have a picture of some kind, an image or a photo, with every single Dixon James podcast. And the last one was a bare-ass Santa sitting on the chimney dropping a load for those of you who have been bad. I thought it was really funny and sort of fitting with the way I've been feeling about Christmas. So, maybe I'll leave it there. I'm in Buffers Park. It's there's just a very light snowfall, but here by the lake, it's more wet than snowy. And I guess that's about it. I'll do something else a little bit later. Yeah. So that's it. Scarborough Dude signing off on this short clip. And here's a tune. And back at you in a little while.
She's got everything she needs. She's an artist. She don't look back. She's got everything she needs. She's an artist. She don't look back. She can take the dark out of the nighttime and paint the daytime black. You will start out standing proud to steal her anything she sees. You will start out standing proud to steal her anything she sees. But you will wind up peeking through her keyhole down upon your knees. She never stumbles. Got no place to fall. She never stumbles. She got no place to fall. She's nobody's child. The law can't touch her at all. An Egyptian ring, it sparkles before she speaks. She wears an Egyptian ring, it sparkles before she speaks. She's a hypnotist collector, you are a walking antique. Bow down to her on Sunday, salute her when her birthday comes. Bow down to her on Sunday, salute her when her birthday comes. For Halloween, buy her a trumpet, and for Christmas, get her a drum.
Just a quick P.S. I left Bluffers Park, and you go along Kingston Road, and there's a Canadian Tire there. It's one I've mentioned before. It's small. It's not attached to a mall, so it's always fairly quiet. And yeah, it's big enough. There's a good auto section, but there's always stuff you'll find at any Canadian Tire. And so I went in there, and that lifted my spirits a little. Now, I still didn't get anything, but I thought I'd share with you. I got some bar mop dishcloths. Basically, I was thinking for Sal, but we always need them around the house, so this is not something I would wrap up and give to my wife, don't worry. But they're just, $3.99 for these, restaurant quality, 100% cotton, super absorbent. We're always using too many paper towels in the kitchen. I love this. And $3.99, like, wow. So that makes me happy. So I'm going to give half to Sal and half to the house. And I wasn't looking for it, but they had cutting boards on sale. Now, they had one, looked really neat. It was one half was bamboo and one half is the poly, stuff that you can cut on a cutting board. It was $9.99, but it didn't say reduced from, it wasn't 25% off, it's just $9.99, great price, $9.99, which it was. But then I found another one from Cuisinart, 68% off, $7.99. And it's bigger and it's lighter and it's just sort of poly on both sides. Because it's got the brand name Cuisinart, regular price like $38 or something stupid that nobody in their right mind would ever pay for, but it's the brand name. And so when you see it for $7.99, that's a deal. So then I was convinced. I went back, looked at the other one. No, I'm not going to pay $9.99 for something that costs $9.99. I'm going to pay $7.99 for something they tell me is way more expensive. And of course it's not, but it's great. And that's for Sal. Because, eventually I will get back in that road trek and I'll be slicing up onions and tomatoes. Hey, Sal, come on. Sal's got to have a present for Christmas. Jesus. And then some nuts. And then I realized, my son is always stealing my AA batteries. So I got a whole rack of batteries for him that I'll just throw in with the books, stuff. And then I forgot, the cats are almost out of food. And you can't have cats have food on Christmas Day. My gosh. So, the usual Frisky's pate for, Torachan outside. That's the only one he eats. He doesn't like the gravy ones. We've just decided. And then, Yuki has gone crazy over these Temptations. This is creamy dairy flavor. And I guess I got a turkey flavor. And now, she comes in and she'll just meow, go around my feet and just meow until she gets some every time she's in or out, which is many times a day. She's going, okay, hey, treat me. I really like those things. And I used to feed her one at a time. My wife used to put them in her hand and she'd eat off her hand. And it was a special treat time. Now it's just a demand. So I just toss them in with her food when she's looking and she'll go and she can pick them out. She can, with her tongue, find just these ones, which are bigger size and different shape, and just eat those. I also got this was 50% off, a silicone baking sheet. And thought, well, there's something. I could make cookies. And then, what a great idea. Instead of putting them in and scraping them off this metal pan, you got one of these baking sheets that just says, as long as you don't exceed 446 Fahrenheit or 230 centigrade, you can just bake right on these things and it'd be easy to get them off. So I'm kind of excited about that. Dishwasher safe. So again, not a present, not something I'll wrap up and give to my wife, but I will make cookies sometime and that will be nice. All right, so I just thought I'd, all is not lost. It's gradually, it is sometimes shopping that gets you into the spirit of Christmas. How horrible that is, but that is kind of something that happens. So we're still not done. I still did not get anything from my wife. I don't know what stores I have left, but I think it's best just to go online and look for a theater or plan a trip to Montreal. All right, Scarborough Dude. Signing off slightly happier than I was before. And really the thing that makes Christmas Eve for me anyway, and Christmas Day. I bought sparkling wine for Christmas Day. That's just a tradition. Open up a bottle, it's bubbly, you know, in the morning. And, yeah, just a couple of drinks. I've got that nice scotch. Ooh, yeah, alcohol. I'm sorry, just to say. But I remember, I don't drink gin. I rarely ever drink vodka. I don't drink rum anymore. I haven't had gin or rum for probably 30 years. And those are drinks, rum especially, that I would love. But no, just, nope, don't do that. You know, you got enough vices as it is. You know, have a little bit of discipline in your life. Okay, and the ideas are flowing for integrity, the thing that Doug has settled on. Thank you again, Doug, for saying, come on, let's get together and do a team project, a group project. And I think it's nice, and it is the kind of thing that builds community. I did post on our Canadian Amateur podcast site kind of a little bit of a snarky comment about somebody I don't know anything about, but posts every week two episodes of his show, and that's all you see. You visit the site and you say, oh, here's the link, and sometimes he'll put in a teaser audio clip, but I don't know, I've never met the person, don't know anything about him, and it just doesn't strike me as, you know, this is not sharing, really. I asked him if he really thinks this is helping his listenership, and he said, I can stop if you don't like it. So he was reasonable about it, but Michelle Sullivan posted, you know, well, there really is no guidelines of what this site is supposed to be about, you know. And, yeah, good point. We haven't really said the reason, and it just kind of exists because we already exist as a group, these Canadian amateur podcasts. This is not to be confused with NAAP. Yeah! North American Association of Podcasters. NAAP! It doesn't have to be said that way, but that's the way I'll say it from now on. Which is something entirely different. But the idea is to get people in. And holy moly, PodCamp Toronto's come up in February, and that is a real bonding time. And great news, it appears, Shane Burley, shout out to Shane, who actually listens to this podcast. Whoa! Thank you, Shane. Will be coming out. I'm saying, hey, why don't you even do a presentation? You're somebody different who's never presented at PodCamp before. People would enjoy that. I'll go. I'll heckle. Heckle the hell out of you. In a good way. You know, that just that generates audience participation. All right, Scarborough Dude. A little chirpier, a little happier, a little more excited. Still wish there's something I could get my dear wife. She's, don't buy chocolates. I got them all at work. Don't do this. Don't get that. Don't waste money on this. Don't get little things. Oh, she's still feeling bad about the extra ticket we had to buy to fly her home from Vancouver, so maybe this is a good year to get away with not getting anything. Ugh, makes me sound so selfish and thoughtless. By the way, I am reading that book about kindness. The doctor worried that maybe he's not kind enough, and it's certainly making me reflect and think, and of course that's the whole point of reading a book, isn't it? Alright, Scarborough Dude signing off once again. Bye for now. I don't want to leave you on the farm. I don't want to leave you on the farm. I don't want to go. I'll just so you know. I don't want to leave you on the farm. Days go by and I'm still high, but you know. Something, hey, thanks for nothing. I'll keep
And you know by that sound that we're in the road trek. I got the engine running just to warm it up a little bit. Got my feet up on the front passenger seat because I just turned it around. Face me. Oh, God, I love this thing. And I feel it's like it's a living thing, and I have to come in and keep it company for a little while and say, I love you. So, anyway, I just heard back the last recording I made just outside Canadian Tire. Things continued to move in a positive direction, I'm glad to say, with one exception. And the one exception is I did not have a gift for my wife. And of course, as always, she surprised me, handed me a bag, and said, I hope this fits. And she always, every year, gets me something wonderful that's just right. And I always say, oh, I don't need that. I don't want that. You don't have to, don't spend money. I don't need anything. And then I love it. And it is an orange, I guess what we used to call almost ski jacket. It's very thin, very light, very warm. I'm wearing it right now. There's a picture on Facebook that I posted yesterday of Nalco and I at Bluffers Park, and I was thrilled to see, you know, almost 90 people hitting like and love for the picture and people sending Christmas greetings. I just put Merry Christmas from Bluffers Park, and it had a wonderful response, and it was really nice, and it was a nice time. This was Christmas Day, so today is Boxing Day, and I've just come here to, tie things together a little bit, I suppose. What happened now? Christmas Eve, I sat there and I read, and we had some drinks. My goodness, how could it already be a blur? Is that because of the drinks? It was pleasant. It was quiet. My son worked. We picked him up. And anyway, Christmas Day, I'd wrapped up a few gifts for my son and apologized to my wife. And there's just a good feeling. And like this house, I put out the lights without her having to ask me or tell me. That was good. I'm just going to open the door. I see Yuki out there. Maybe she wants him. Yuki, come on. She's looking at me. The cat has become such a central part of this family and Christmas, and she has her favorite places to sit, and we just love her. Oh, here she comes. So, yeah, you know, eggnog in the house, a little brandy. So here's what happened. That cutting board I bought in Canadian Tire for Sal, I walked into the house and sort of showed my wife, said, oh, I got this. She said, oh, I was thinking of getting one. Oh, do you want this one? Great. So that wasn't a present, but we do have a new... the cutting board meant for Sal. It was like Sal gave the gift to us, okay? This is where I'm going with this, because it turned out to be a very happy, pleasant Christmas. Queen's message at noon, of course, every day. That's a thing. You know that. I know some people, your Anthony Markles of the world, and the labor groups and so on, socialists, communists, I'm sure, don't approve, but I love my queen. And anyway, that was, and I was very pleased that Chuck sat with me and watched the whole thing word for word. And my wife, as usual, after it was over, she says, now what did she say? So I explained, and anyway, I don't have to tell you. If you're interested, you will have heard the Queen's message, and if you're not interested, you don't want to hear it from me. So anyway, we had a wonderful dinner. My wife made it very simple, a Japanese dinner, but that's what we wanted, because tonight we're going out to Dragon Pearl, our annual Christmas tradition, this wonderful buffet up in North York. Then my son is going downtown to the Rex Hotel. For the first time, used to be my favorite bar. Okay, so what happened? We went out for that walk, and that just somehow made the day. There was a little light snowfall; it was pleasant. And Noko came along with some scissors and said, "I just need to cut some branches." Now, we didn't put up a Christmas tree this year, and I felt, oh, I guess, you know, we
the spirit's gone or something, but it just didn't seem worth the trouble or anything else. And by the end of Christmas, Nelko, it's her tradition, packs things up. It's gone. Hello, Yuki. Say hello to everybody. Yes. Things just get put away. Like, we had a table full of chocolates and boxes and presents. And next thing you know, it's gone. And I'm saying, where the hell did everything go? You know, well, it's done. It's cleaned up. But she made a Christmas wreath instead. And she had cut down the beautiful, beautiful red little pieces from a tree in Bluffers Park. I'm just talking, not from a tree, from a bush. But she knew what they were. And they were a beautiful color. And then had another wreath. And then at night, she borrowed my flashlight to go into the garden. She said, we need something green. And this was from the hollyhock plant we have in the back. And then something gold for wealth. So the green was for health, the red was for love, and the gold was for wealth. The gold was for wealth. The red was for love, the green was for health. Okay. And but that's the kind of thing she does. And it's more subtle. And it's not like you didn't need to put up a Christmas tree and put on the decorations and take a picture and show everybody. We had this instead. It's her way. And I love it. I love it. I love it. No, she didn't want to stay with me. Okay. So there's a kind of beauty there. Just as I left to come out to the road trek, she was sitting there on the sofa wrapped up in a quilt. And was listening to Japanese drama. And I love hearing in the background. I like the sound of Japanese. And I'm not paying attention. I'm not hearing the words. But I just know the sounds. And I'm so comfortable. It's the opposite effect that Chinese has. Chinese just grates on me. I just, you know, it's the sounds. I just, I can't process. And Japanese has a very soothing effect on me. And I think they're very aware of it, especially with women's voices. But anyway, it's just nice to hear that. And I'm just saying, candles were lit everywhere. And it's something, I don't ask her why, you know, and it could be for people who are gone. There's different reasons. We have our Buddha there, but candles just get lit all over the house. And it's beautiful. And it's something that she does as the spirit moves her. And I just know it was right. And I'm just happy to have it. And anyway, so somehow, almost a Christmas miracle, it just turned out to be very, very pleasant. We had that meal together, we talked, we had lots of drink, the sparkling wine, the eggnog and brandy, I opened my bottle of cow. Here's the other part. I was talking about the vehicle I'm sitting in right now, Sal, giving up the cutting board. But I also realized, you know, I've got, when Nelko poured some eggnog, you know, we didn't have any rum or anything. And I said, oh, I think I have some brandy in the road trek. So I have my own little bar out here. That's all part of the deal. And got the little thing of brandy. And then realized, you know, I got two beautiful little mugs here that I bought when I went to Bark Lake for the 70th anniversary. And they were very Canadian, and I never brought them into the house. They were still wrapped from when I bought them. And one had a polar bear, and one had a moose. And they're beautiful. And I thought, well, this is a time to bring those in, too, for Christmas. Yeah. And it was Sal giving up another little gift. And then I looked, and with the brandy, there was this bottle of Kiva. And Kiva's a bottle of Canadian whiskey mixed with coffee. And it's a very nice liqueur. And I had talked about it, but I had never opened it. I had a sample. I talked to the man who owns the company who developed this. I have a picture of him. And I thought, well, my God, here's another gift from Sal. Bring in the bottle of Kiva. So, you know, I play head games, and I just play with life to make it suit me and to a large degree. But it's fun and it's wonderful. And so I really like to think that Sal contributed to making this a better Christmas, made up for my incompetence, because we had the drinks of brandy and eggnog out of those beautiful cups. And of course, my wife chose the one with the polar bear, and I had the one with the moose. I'm thinking maybe it's not a moose, it's a caribou. But anyway, that was just nice. So, I don't know, I guess I'm gushing on a bit here, but I know it started off, you know, like even on the 24th, I can't get into it. And that little crazy trip to Canadian Tire and, you know, Bluffers Park gradually softened me up a bit. The 24th worked its magic. Christmas Eve always does. And then we just had a nice day, and I watched a lot of stuff interesting on TVO about the royal family's art collection going back to, I don't know, Charles the First or something. Just incredible works of art. Priceless collections. But here's an art historian going in, and it ended the last one with Prince Charles talking about this modern stuff that is being bought into the family now. Very completely different from the very old traditional Raphaels and traditional British painters and so on, to something quite modern that the Queen had picked up, almost caricatures. Wonderful one of, I guess, her grandfather. Anyway, it was just good quality television, and that's what you do. You're sitting there, and you got a drink, and you're just feeling relaxed and peaceful. And then posting that picture of Naoko and I from Bluffers Park just was kind of a symbol that all was well. And again, we do go through some rough patches, believe me. And this was just turned out to be so nice. So, I don't know, this is kind of getting pointless, just going on and on about how nice everything is. So anyway, I did give myself permission to open up the Timothy Leary book that I bought. I have read a few, as I mentioned. This is the I Have America Surrounded. And I guess it's a little bit, maybe it's something that Steve Cloutier would like to achieve with his memories of Sackville, when they're talking about what was important to them when they were young kids. And it's wonderful. He's got a great friend, and they can share some scotch, although they're trying to cut back a little on that, and just go over some of the things that have meaning. And I find meaning, things about the past, there's always this sense of, of course, it being lost. I mean, the games, you know, how wonderful it was as a kid to run around playing cops and robbers, cowboys and Indians, 1, 2, 3, red light, like just outside running around. My kids even played flashlight tag. That was their favorite game here, running around the schoolyard behind us and so on. But things of the past that seemed to get lost. And boy, oh boy, with the technology that's coming to the world of toys, you know, from Lego was still basic building blocks, but boy, now a little more high tech, a little more expensive, a little more into the capitalist grip of commerce. But anyway, things that had meaning, and sometimes you want to preserve them, you want to hang on, you want to say, but that was so meaningful, how can it just be lost to time? And I feel that way about Timothy Leary, that young people, oh yeah, yeah, he's the guy who said, what was it, turn on, tune in, drop out, something like that. And then, yeah, he was this crazy. And without knowing the details of his life, he was a Harvard professor of psychology. He wrote a book that was used for decades on personality assessment. And, I mean, this guy escaping from prison when Nixon had him locked up where it was going to be life. I mean, this guy was not going to get out. And the only option was an escape with a new disguise with the help of the radical group, the Weather Underground, ending up in Algeria. You know, my God, is that for real? How come there hasn't been a movie made about this guy? I know there's been talk of it, I'm sure, but holy Christ. This guy. And it saddens me that for a lot of people, well, who cares? Timothy Leary, yeah, okay, yeah. I like John Lennon, too. Yeah, but what do you know about John? Well, is it important? Yes! It's important, for Christ's sake! So anyway, It's a delight for me. The only difference I have is, or the only issue, when I'm reading through this other book by Dr. Goldman about kindness. It's the one for our book club, and I'm going through it. I love it with my little 6-inch ruler and the yellow highlighter, and I'm just anything that I think is a talking point or that I want to refer back to or maybe frame a question around, because we lead these classes, these sessions. And so I'm being very conscientious about the reading of that book. And it helps me focus, you know, okay, what part would I underline on this page? What is the outstanding thing? And I'm wanting to do it with this Timothy Leary book. And then another part of me like, well, no, nobody's going to want that book afterwards. And I still do have to think about, well, what's going to happen to my library after? My kids aren't going to want all of these. But I made an effort to make a Timothy Leary library, along with my Henry Miller, along with my Jack Kerouac and all the other beats. You can't just throw them away. So anyway, God damn, sometimes this just turns into meaningless dribble, doesn't it? Here I am talking about, can I or can I not use a yellow highlighter in my new Timothy Leary book? But to me, it's important, all right? I guess really what I'm saying is, God damn it, I love reading. And I love the richness of it. And I love coming back to a subject I already know. Like this is, I've read Timothy's own autobiography a couple of times. I've read other books by him. I've got a few already, and to come at it again from a different writer, from a different perspective, focusing on maybe different things, like him getting drummed out of West Point. Like, that was a story, and the insights into his character, the horrible tragedy of the suicide of his first wife on his birthday. He comes downstairs and she's in the garage in the car with the engine running, and she's dead, and his kids are right behind him, kids who suffered. And I mean, here is a flawed character, and the flaws are already exposed early in the book, but what a fascinating study. And I guess it almost troubles me that so many others won't care. It'll just be lost. But I guess that's not really true, that others in the future will dig in, and they'll dig deep, and they'll find, wow, this guy had a bit of an impact on the 20th century. He played a role. He is a figure worthy of note. It's just that it was the way the Russians used to write people out of the official documents and photos and maybe just send them to a mental institution because they're no longer in favor. And as the Chinese would do, you just sort of bury people in history. And I think it's been done with Timothy Leary, and they still haven't fully resurrected him. So this read, I Have America Surrounded, The Life of Timothy Leary by John Higgs, I am just thrilled. So that also just adds to what a wonderful, rich Christmas it's been. So there you go. I'm glad I didn't... I'm glad it's come around to this and that things are on a much happier note. God damn, I better turn this engine off. We don't need to be running it all this time. And I'm looking forward to tomorrow. I've got a men's group meeting with somebody who was quite sick and somehow miraculously bounced back. And then on Friday, driving to Ottawa. So much to be grateful for and happy about and appreciate. And, you just want to live your life with an awareness of what are the good things and make the most of them, appreciate them. Here comes Yuki again. I'm gonna just. Yeah, what do you want, Yuki? You want to get in the house? Okay. Cat wants in. Talk to you later, folks. Scarborough dude. Yeah, what do you want? What do you want, Yuki? Bye-bye.
I'm in the mood to move to the left 3 feet, goddammit. I'm in the mood to slide to the right 100 feet, goddammit. to fall down the steps four flights, goddammit. I'm in the mood to fly in the air 12 feet, motherfucker. We in the mood to do our thing right now, Mohey now. Sunny fish, melon jelly, ball in the jack at the meat wagon now. I'm in the mood to move my body like a weasel, goddammit. 4, 8, 16 feet to the left, goddammit. I'm in the mood to whip your body with a tire iron. Kudo, groundhog, poop ball, 3 times, goddammit. Kudo, groundhog, poop ball, 3 times, goddammit. Kudo, groundhog, poop ball, 1 time.
You know what that means? Okay, this is the coming down to the end of the podcast. I really couldn't do it any other way than the way I do it, with a few clips during the week, and each one is takes me to a slightly different place, and sometimes they connect together. And this, I guess, overall is a Christmas show. Gosh, it ended so well. Last night we had our dinner at the Dragon Pearl. And it was just so nice to see my wife enjoying it. The, wasn't crab, the, you know, lobster tails. They give you a coupon. You're allowed one each. And, of course, I gave her mine. And anyway, just very pleasant and just so glad she was healthy again. A couple of things I want to touch on here. One of them, you know, you've heard me. One of the things I do on this podcast is call out to other people, others within this community. And this is one of the reasons it's not necessarily of interest to people outside the community. Somebody coming and listening in, well, who the hell is Jason? What are you talking about, Parma Jason? What the hell is that? You know, if they don't know all the other people involved, it's a bit strange. But to me, this is the attraction of it. I'm in it for the community, for the sharing. And I've had my differences of opinion with somebody called Anthony Markle before. I've talked about them, and he's talked about me, and we've gone back and forth. And that's all part of the game. But this time, I want to say something. It's not nice necessarily, but good. I listened to his Christmas Eve podcast today, and I really enjoyed it. And I was analyzing, well, why am I enjoying it? The beginning was he was talking about his piano, that one of the gifts he was going to get was maybe get the piano tuned out. Maybe I won't tell you the ending to that part. You can listen. But first of all, I was just flummoxed by the language because I don't know, but it's anything about music. I don't know how we were taught music in school, and I think the whole purpose of that class was to humiliate teenage boys and make them sing in front of people when they couldn't. Because I learned nothing. And again, I know my brain has never been the best working of brains. But when Anthony talks about these things, I enjoy hearing, because I know he knows what he's talking about. And so it's like somebody else, you know, who speaks another language. And, oh, good for you. That's great. So I just enjoyed hearing about Anthony's, the description of the troubles that Anthony was having with the old piano that his grandmother bought. It was good. And I guess the point I want to make is it's because I know Anthony, and so I care. And if it was a stranger, well, who knows if I'd feel the same way? Probably not. And I think that's part of the issue here, that we've got to pull people in. And I'm glad to say, I think the circle is just ever so slowly widening now with NAP, and of course that's not North American amateur podcast. It was. I called it wrong last time. What did I say? I don't know. Association of Podcasters. Yeah, sorry. Forgive me. I'm determined to get that wrong anyway. But there is this community, and it is fun. So I really enjoyed that. And then he went on doing his Christmas shopping on Christmas Eve, and that's what I do. And I've got this pitch. Oh, my God, Anthony, how have you taken that on? A house full of women. I mean, what, 6 women, I guess, talking, including his eldest daughter, who I met, who was a delight. I mean, these are his new family and his wife sending him out to get this stuff. Holy fuck, man. How did you do all of that? But Anthony does it. Anthony's stepped right up and, you know, doing his thing. So anyway, I guess, Anthony, I suppose that if you're listening, this is a shout out to you. Well done, sir. And in spite of the many differences we may have, for example, I'm going to rant on about the Queen's message and how important that is, and I'm sure all you pointed out was she was standing in front of a gold piano. I still love you, man, and I'm glad we know each other. And I really enjoyed your little excursion because that was it. He was just talking. And I guess a lot of people don't get that. He's going from place to place. What he has to, there was no great significance. It wasn't a lesson in, you know, history or philosophy or anything else. But it was one of our friends giving his story of what he was doing on this Christmas Eve. So there we go. My God, I've spent enough time on that. I told you I got my Timothy Leary book. And I want to read out one little bit. Because I realized, you know, I'm figuring out, well, why are these people my heroes? I was at a men's group today, and even though our time was limited, I insisted on taking this book out of my bag and giving a rant on why Timothy Leary is so important and how disgusting it is in America. Started the war on drugs and stopped people from experimenting with LSD for decades. And gave him a 20-year prison sentence. So the thing is, he is a creature of his times. He was a bright guy to start with. But the part I find interesting is about describing 1950s America. And this, of course, is the time of the Beats and how they rebelled. I mean, they were even earlier, starting in the 40s, but... where are we now? Oh, my God, I can hardly see. Hang on, take off my glasses. The stifling conformity of 1950s America was, intellectually at least, supported by contemporary psychological thought. There exists, the psychologists argued, such a thing as normality, in quotation marks. This is how people's minds, personalities, and behavior should be. But many people differed by varying degrees from this norm. They may have been unmotivated, homosexual, radical, or mysteriously unhappy. These people were considered abnormal. It was the job of the psychologist to cure them and make them normal. So that just says a whole lot. And it speaks to me because I don't quite fit in. And... the more I look back on my life now, which I'm continuing to do every day as I continue to compose sections of who was I? What did that experience mean to me? What's the significance of that? And it's wonderful. And then, I mean, this is just one little bit in the very beginning of the book, but how he would go on from there to be this polarizing figure. It's just so interesting. And I made sure everybody in our men's group today knew this is an important historical figure, even though nobody else will ever pick up a book and read him. And when somebody asked if he could borrow it, I said, no. Because I'm not normal. Anyway, I guess, folks, that's about it. You will have heard on this episode some unusual tunes. Two tunes by Ween. The previous one, just to this clip, is such a strange, and it appeals to me so much, and it goes right back to this abnormal bit. Like, why does that song, it's only just over a minute long, speak to me? The one with, you know, I'm going to take six steps to the left, God damn it, because I feel like it. And that's what always, yeah, that's what drives me. Because I feel like it. I feel like doing it. Now, sometimes that's a failure, and I admit that, and there are times I have to curb my self-expression. Let's call it that. The other song, She Belongs to Me, that I started with, I chose that one for my wife just because she can and continues to be a riddle to me sometimes, just in terms of, I just don't understand that. And I knew that. I've known that. I've said it on here before. until the day I die, I will still be puzzling over, who is this person? What, you know, I mean, how well do we know any of us, ourselves or others? But she continues to amaze me. She doesn't belong to me, but I do feel in the sense of, yeah, I have a responsibility to step up and do what I can to certainly be supportive and try and learn. So that one, and then another beautiful one from the Country and Western album, that the 12 country hits that only had 11 songs on it by Ween. And I could have played Ween the whole time. Ween is just this group that, it's crazy. Some of the stuff is barely listenable. But because they are pushing the bounds all the time, this is why I like them so much. It was my son who turned me on. I'd never even heard of them when I was listening in my early music listening days. It was only, what, 5, 6, 7 years ago that I first heard of them through my son. One more thing about Anthony. When he was talking about the piano thing, he followed it with the perfect Tom Waits tune. I guess it was it Valentine's Day or something like that? And there was a lot of piano in the background that just was almost jarring, and it fit because he was talking about the piano being out of tune, and of course the voice of Tom Waits, which I always enjoy and can count on Anthony for playing. So I guess, folks, that's it. I did go to men's group today. It was a very good experience. Very, very much in depth. I guess, yeah, there was a real takeaway, and the takeaway is the person who leads this group has studied. He knows what he's doing. He knows how to lead a group. This is one I go to just once a month. And he went through some very, very serious health challenges recently, like, you know, that could have done him in. But it gave him, and with the drugs that he was taking for this, the health issue, gave him some new insights. And one of them was about how important it is to recognize our whole humanity, all of who we are. And this is an issue that I deal with on this, try to deal with on this Dixon Jane's podcast, the whole self. Accepting the part that, the bad parts, the parts of you that fail, the parts of you that do the wrong thing, the parts of you that aren't caring or loving enough, but learning to accept that whole self of who we are, and that in itself is beautiful, once you can be accepting of your whole self. I know it sounds, and even he said that, you know, as you put it into words, it sounds a bit too simplistic. But it was the importance, and the other thing that came with that was, therefore, you have to suspend judgment of others and of yourself. Instead of judging people for their failures and their shortcomings, which we do all the time, sometimes to make ourselves feel better, sometimes to put them down. You know, we always have reasons for all these judging, but if you can learn not to judge, but to accept, again, in others and in yourself, I think this is what moves you forward. And I echoed that and said, I get that. I'm with that. And it's what one of the other men told me, and I've repeated here, about learning to love yourself for who you are. You've got to love yourself. And boy, oh boy, oh boy, that's hard. And this Christmas, there was a time when that was hard, because in dealing with my wife's illness and pain, I didn't do a very good job. I didn't do a very good job in terms of, just within my own family. And there, I talked about this dichotomy, this compartmentalization, that outside on this podcast, at PAB, at social gatherings, sitting in the only cafe, I'm a great, great person. I'm wonderful. Friends like me. I'm fun. I'm entertaining. I'm happy. I'm in my place. Because I suspend judgment in these situations. But at home, when others can judge me, when others can point out, and I'm not criticizing them for it, it's that the test is a little harder. There's a little more you have to do and care about. And you don't get off as easy at home as you might in a bar. And I've still got a lot of work to do. So I'll end it there. I don't want to drag this on, but I'll end it on that note. I'm aware I have a lot to do yet in my journey, in my trip, in my trying to improve myself? Am I trying to, I don't know, understand, be forgiving, be a better person? I've got some parts of it doing very, very well. You know, I give myself an A for certain parts of it. And other parts, oh my God, C minus D. And there you go. You see, that's exactly what I was talking about. There's the judgment. God, how do you reconcile that? So I'll leave that to you. I don't know if this kind of talk means anything to any of you out there. I hope it does. I imagine, I would hope, some of you are doing the same. And yet, it depends on the age you're at, you know? I don't think I was quite deeply into trying to understand when I was younger as I am now. And maybe that's because time is short and I don't have much time to figure it all out. But anyway, listen, let's ring the bell and bring an end to this. See you next week. Bye for now.